Islamic parables timeless and bright, bringing the soul to the path of light. Islamic parables, Islamic parables.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen, amma ba'd. فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله Dear viewers of Madani channel, welcome marhaba to another episode of the series Islamic Parables. Inshallah Azawajal, in today's episode and program, we are going to learn about the four donkeys of Satan. Before that, let's first and foremost recite Salawat al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stated that the one closest to me on the Day of Judgment will be the one who has recited the most durood upon me. So without further ado, let's recite together Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in wa sallam. Dear brothers, it is said that Sayyidina Isa ala nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wasalam, he once saw Satan with four loaded donkeys. He alayhi salam asked him what the four donkeys were carrying. And to that Satan replied, they are carrying my merchandise. One of them is carrying cruelty, and another one is carrying dishonesty. The third one is carrying treachery, and the last one is carrying jealousy. Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam asked him, who will buy this merchandise? And the Satan replied that the rulers will buy cruelty, traders will buy dishonesty, and women will buy my treachery. And as far as the jealousy is concerned, the scholars will buy that. Allahu Akbar. Dear brothers, we know now that cruelty, dishonesty, treachery and jealousy are all Satan's merchandise. We have learned that he sells cruelty to rulers. We know that when a person gains authority, he usually deprives the poor and needy of their rights and inflicts oppression upon them instead of enforcing justice. He forgets the fact that Allah Azza wa Jal is watching his every move. The previous narration says that cruelty and oppression is committed commonly by rulers and officers of high posts. But remember, it does not mean that they only commit this crime. Anyone causing grief or being cruel to a Muslim is a sinner and worthy of punishment in the fire of hell. Ruler or not, anyone who commits this crime, regardless of who it is, anyone causing grief or being cruel to a Muslim is a sinner and worthy of punishment in the fire of hell. Those who hurt the feelings of Muslims, they must also bear in mind that whoever does it, it is applicable to them. Those who cause the storms of oppression and cruelty, those who open fire at Muslims, those who rob Muslims' shops and homes, those who distress and agonize the Muslims by threatening and terrorizing them. Listen carefully. Sayyidina Abu Musa radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he narrates that the greatest Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stated, indeed Allah azza wa jal gives the oppressor respite, but when he azza wa jal captures the oppressor, he does not leave. Sayyida Asma binti Umais radiallahu ta'ala anha, she reports that she heard the blessed Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying that one who is arrogant and forgets Allah azza wa jal is very evil. So is the one who oppresses the weak and transgresses the limit and forgets the glorious Allah azza wa jal, and the one who indulges in games and amusements and forgets rotting in his grave and causes mischief and forgets his beginning and end, meaning forgets about his birth and death. And the one who deceives the world through his religion and ruins religion by indulging in doubtful actions. And he who is dragged by greed and is led astray from the straight path by his desires, and the one who is disgraced by his desires, all of them are evil. Allah. Sayyidina Ali karamallahu ta'ala wajhul kareem, he reports that the blessed Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam has stated, avoid the curse of the oppressed because he asks Allah azza wa jal for his due right, and Allah azza wa jal gives people their rights. Allahu Akbar. Brothers, though the oppressed person, he is weak as compared to the oppressor, he is favored by the most powerful being, the divine being of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who will ultimately take revenge. The oppressed is not alone. Even though it may temporarily seem as if he is unaided and he is helpless, if an oppressed person is patient, he will definitely benefit from it because he will be rewarded greatly for his patience. As far as the oppressor is concerned, he is at a great loss because he constantly piles up his sins due to his cruelty and invites the wrath of Allah Azza wa Jal, whether the cruelty be on humans or animals. The beloved of Allah Azza wa Jal sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stated that I was shown hell in which I saw a woman of Bani Israel being tortured just because of her cat that she had in the world. She had tied up the cat, and neither she gave this cat anything to eat, nor did she free the cat so that she could go and eat anything outside. Eventually, the cat died of hunger. And because of that, this woman was being punished. Those who illegally occupy other people's properties through bribery, those landlords, tribe leaders, and farmers who unjustly occupy people's farmlands, listen. Imam Muslim mentions a warning of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that the one who unjustly occupies a handspan of someone's land will be forced to wear a necklace made of the seven earths on the day of judgment. Allahu Akbar. My dear brothers, fear Allah azza wa jal, repent to Allah azza wa jal and beg him for his mercy and forgiveness before death lifts you up from the comfortable beds of your well-decorated rooms and throws you into a dark grave full of insects and spiders. Ask for forgiveness from all those people whom you have oppressed and try and please them. Return all occupied possessions to their rightful owners and make peace with them. No matter how high-ranking officer you may be, bow in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal and plead to the weak and poor people that you have oppressed. Or else, we should all remember that on the day of judgment, you might have given them your virtues, and if you do not have virtues, then you might have to take the burden of their sins and enter the fire of hell. Sayyidina Abu Bakr Warraq rahimahullah ta'ala, he says that oppressing others often results in the loss of iman and faith. What will you do if the oppression makes you lose your iman and die as a disbeliever? Listen, the 25th to the 32nd verse of Surah Al-Haqqah, where Allah Azza wa Jal speaks of the disgrace of the disbelievers. Allah Azza wa Jal has stated, translation from Kanzul Iman, but as for him who is given his record in his left hand, he will say, if only I had not been given my book and was not told my reckoning, if only it had been death, my wealth has not benefited me, my power has gone from me, the angels will be told, take him and restrain him and expose him to the fire of hell, and then insert him in a chain of which the length is 70 cubits. Allah Akbar. Dear brothers, please read the booklet, The Consequences of Oppression from Maktabatul Madina, or listen to the audio version of it, inshallah azza wa jal, It will teach you ways of avoiding oppression and cruelty. To understand how to avoid all types of oppression and to protect your faith, travel in the Sunnah inspiring qafilas of Dawat Islami, and whilst doing Fikra Madina punctually, fill your Madani Naamat card daily. Oh, it is also called Pious Deeds now, Alhamdulillah, and it is available from the Play Store. If you got Android smartphone or if you got Apple smartphone, then you can download it from the App Store, Apple App Store. And subhanallah, that way you can keep track of your daily pious deeds and hand it to your local Nigran. And in this way, if you submit, it reaches the Markaz via the virtual system in the database. And at the end of every Islamic month, we should try and fulfill it, inshallah, azza wa jal. Satan said that his second piece of merchandise was dishonesty, and that he sells it to the traders, businessmen. Many traders, dealers, businessmen are often seen treating people dishonestly. Remember, dishonesty is also a sign of hypocrisy. A hadith narrated by Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhuma is mentioned in Sahih Bukhari that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stated that there are four signs of a hypocrite. And if someone possesses one of them, he has one sign of hypocrisy until he abandons it. One is betrayal when trusted with something, meaning when trusted with an amana, he betrays. The second thing is lying while speaking. The third is breaking promises. And the fourth is swearing when involved in an argument. The word amana refers to a variety of things. Imam Qurtubi rahimahullah says that amana is to fulfill the entire commands and worships of Islam. Hujjatul Islam, Sayyidina Imam Muhammad al-Ghazali rahimahullah, he says, the private parts are an amana. The ears are an amana. The tongue is an amana. The stomach is an amana. The hands and feet are an amana. And he who has no amana has no faith. So anyone who uses his body parts in disobedience has used them wrongfully. Sayyidina Abdullah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he says that before Allah Azza wa Jal created the body parts of a person, the private parts were made, and whilst addressing the person said, I am leaving an amana with you. Don't be neglectful in fulfilling its rights. Ears are amana. Eyes are amana. Private parts are amana. Stomach is an amana. And the tongue is an amana. Sayyidina Fakhruddin Razi rahimahullah ta'ala, he says, know that the chapter of an amana is vast. The amana of the tongue is that the person saves it from lying, backbiting, slandering, kufr, bid'ah, and wrongful acts. Allahu Akbar. There is a beautiful hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We are reminded of this amana of the tongue and how we should use it very cautiously and sparingly. The hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is mentioned there that every morning when a person wakes up, the body organs, they speak to the tongue. They say to the tongue that, please do not get us into trouble. Fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our regard. Because if you are straight, we'll be straight. And if you go crooked, we also become crooked. Allahu Akbar. So, the tongue is an amana. Imam Fakhruddin Razi rahimahullah further says, the amana of the eyes is that they are not used to look at haram, and the amana of the ears is that they are not used to listen to haram. Similarly, a person needs to show that he is trustworthy when it comes to other body parts as well. Subhanallah. So we got to know that our entire body is an amana. And do we recall the incident where Sayyidina Abu Salih Musa Jangi Dost rahimahullah ta'ala, the beloved father of Sayyidina Ghawse Pak rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, when he started working for his father-in-law. And the father-in-law, he kept him in his orchard. After years of serving him and paying back for the apple that he had eaten without the permission, he worked for over a decade. Allahu Akbar. And then his future father-in-law, he says to him, Sayyidina Abdullah Soma'i, rahimahullah ta'ala, he says to him that, no, you are still not free. You have to do something. And then you'll be pardoned. So Sayyidina Ghawsipak, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, he is listening to his conditions. He says, you'll have to marry my daughter. But remember, she is blind. She is deaf. She is disabled as well. Sayyidina Abu Salih Musa Jangi Dost, rahimahullah ta'ala, he accepts these conditions. And when Sayyidina Abu Salih Musa Jangi Dost, rahimahullah ta'ala, after the nikah, he goes and he sees his wife. She is absolutely fine. She is sound. She is beautiful. There's nothing wrong with her. And she has no defects, as he was told by his father-in-law. He goes back to his father-in-law. He says, perhaps there's a mistake, because what you described and how she looks are two different things. To that, his father-in-law says to him that, yes, she is blind because she hasn't seen anything wrong. Her eyes, that amana she has kept. She is deaf because she hasn't listened to anything haram. That way, she has the amana of the ears. And she is disabled, I said, in the sense that she has never advanced and walked towards the haram, and she never touched anything haram. Allahu Akbar. And in this way, she has kept the amana of the body limbs. Subhanallah. This is the amana. Allahu Akbar. The pious servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the pious predecessors, they would value the amana. It is mentioned that whenever you are left in trust of money, goods, books, etc., you must return them on time. No one will be able to bear the punishment of breaching someone's trust. Hujjatul Islam, Sayyidina Imam Muhammad Ghazali rahimahullah ta'ala says in Mukashifatul Qulub that on the day of judgment, a man will be brought in the court of Allah Azza wa Jalla and he'll be asked, did you return what was trusted to you by so and so person? He will reply in the negative. Then by the command of Allah Azza wa Jalla, an angel will take him towards hell, at the bottom of which he will see what was trusted to him. He will fall inside and reach the bottom. 70 years later, he will then lift that thing and begin to climb. When he reaches the top, he will slip and fall back down. This climbing and falling will continue until he will be blessed with Allah's mercy for the sake of the intercession of the beloved Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and the owner will forgive him. Allah. My dear brothers, remember, as dishonesty is haram in the matter of wealth, it is also forbidden to breach another person's trust in matters of speech, social affairs, and duties. For instance, if someone tells you a secret or asks you not to tell anyone his phone number or address, or even if he does not mention it clearly, but his fear and hesitation indicate that he does not want to tell you, or he does not want you to tell it to others, or to make it public, or to share it with others. For example, looking around to make sure no one is listening, but you reveal it, whether it be verbally, literally, or using gestures, then in this case, you have breached his trust. And there are so many times this happens, breach of trust. And let's say, for example, we meet people on a daily basis. And if someone is close to you, or you really trust someone, and then you share your secrets with the person, and then he doesn't honor it. He doesn't, that amana that you leave with him, he then discloses it and brings it in the public domain. It might be a cause of your embarrassment, whatever it may be. He has breached your trust. The responsibility of a ruler is to take care of his citizens and establish justice. If he does not fulfill his responsibilities, it will also be considered the breach of trust of the nation. The president, secretary, the governor, chancellor, members of assembly, mayors, police officers, etc. are all, in fact, servants of the nation. They are public servants. They are paid from the taxes taken from the public. They might forget who they really are, but in actual fact, these positions are like wooden sweets wrapped up in silky wrappers, impossible to chew and digest. These leaders have actually taken a huge risk by taking on these responsibilities. This might be hard to understand at the moment, but everyone will understand it after death. If any one of them is unjust and has oppressed, filled his pockets by taking advantage of his position, or turned his attention away from the grief of the nation, then he has breached their trust. His evil character will probably prevent anyone from saying anything to him at the moment, but how long will he remain in this world when the wrath of Allah Azza wa Jal encompasses these leaders? Not a single one of them will escape. The consequences of dishonesty are severe indeed in both the worlds. Dishonest leaders and officers often face disgrace. Even in this world, their disastrous consequences are portrayed everywhere by the media, and the public eventually curses them and catches up to them. For how long will they be able to fool others? Holding a status and not fulfilling its duties properly without a valid excuse is also a breach of trust. Beware. Do not let the luxuries of the world result in calamities of the hereafter. Especially, people who work in government departments seem to be involved in the breach of trust. Many people take up these jobs because no one monitors the work in most of the departments. They finish work whenever they please, take days off whenever they please, or get close to their seniors so that they can neglect their duties. If the employee takes unauthorized days off, but the officer in charge backs him up by making him present in the books and causes loss to the government, then both of them would have breached the trust, and their earnings would be unlawful. We must only support each other in matters of piety and not in the matters of sins. Helping in sins will also lead to the punishment. Allah Azza wa Jal says in the glorious Quran, translation from Kanzuliman, and help one another to righteousness and piety, and do not help one another to sin and transgression. And fear Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah Azza wa Jal is severe in punishment. Anyone who does not fulfill his duties without a valid reason must reflect upon his attitude. If his timings are 8 a.m. to 4 p.m., but he arrives at 9 a.m. or leaves at 3 p.m., then in either case, he has committed a crime. It is haram for him to take wage for that time that he missed, and also for any unauthorized days off. If the person responsible for opening the office comes late, it should not stop the employee from getting there on time and waiting for his arrival. Similarly, security guards, policemen, etc. should also think carefully. If their duty is to be on guard, standing up, they are not allowed to sit or sleep within duty hours. However, Fard Salah must definitely be offered, and they are therefore allowed time off for this. Guards who wander around or sleep in their duty times are breaching the trust of their employers. Their slacking also increases the chance of crime and corruption. It is haram to take salary for the hours missed, and therefore it will lead to the punishment of the hellfire. Allahu Akbar. We need to take caution in all these matters. And shaitan is selling his merchandise, as we have learnt from this parable. Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam has narrated that shaitan was going and he had four donkeys with him, And the shaitan said, these are my donkeys and they are carrying my merchandise. Right? He is selling cruelty, he is selling dishonesty, he is selling treachery, and he is selling jealousy. Right? And his first merchandise, that is cruelty, who will buy? Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam asked. He said, the rulers will buy it. Yes, those are in positions. And who will buy the dishonesty? Well, traders and business people, they will buy it. Allahu Akbar. And dishonesty is so much worse than many things out there. It means if we are dishonest in our dealings, the very morsel that we consume, we buy and eat that morsel, it becomes haram because it comes from unlawful earning. Yes, anything we spend the same money on the bringing of our children, imagine the consequences of it. Allahu Akbar. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala safeguard us against everything that is forbidden, that is haram, that is unlawful. And Allah Azza wa Jal grant us tawfiq and grant us rizq from lawful means. Ameen. Bijahi an-nabiyyil amin. Sallu ala al-habib. Sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. Sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in wa sallam. Dear viewers, alhamdulillah, we have wonderful kalam, inshallah Azza wa Jal, which we are going to listen to. And thereafter, we shall be back and continue with our today's discussion. So stay tuned with Madani Channel. Sallu ala al-habib. Sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. Sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in wa sallam.
میں نو شوق مدینے جاون دا میرے دل وچ حسرت ہور نہیں آقا تیری مرضی اے ساڈا تے کوئی زور نہیں تیری مرضی ساڈا تے کوئی زور نہیں میری عقل بھی نہیں میری شکل بھی نہیں مینوں یار مناون دا ڈھنگ بھی نہیں میری عقل بھی نہیں میری شکل بھی نہیں مینوں یار مناون دا ڈھنگ بھی نہیں میرا عشق بھی رومی ورگا نہیں میرا عشق بھی رومی ورگا نہیں میری جامی ورگی ٹور نہیں پر مینوں شوق مدینے جاون دا میرے دل وچ حسرت ہور نہیں عشق یہ کہندا ہے حوصلہ رکھ آقا دا بلاوا آوے گا میرا عشق یہ کہندا ہے حوصلہ رکھ آقا دا بلاوا آوے گا کی کریے بے صبری دا پر کی کریے بے صبری دا میرے دل وچوں جاندا چور نہیں تیرے نام دے تذکرے عرشاں تے تیرے حسن دے چرچے فرشاں تے تیرے نام دے تذکرے عرشاں تے
حسن دے چرچے فرشاں تے کوئی تھا نہیں ایسی جس تھا تے کوئی تھا نہیں ایسی جس تھا تے تیرے عشق دا آقا شور نہیں مینو شوق مدینے جاون دا میرے دل وچ حسرت ہور نہیں تیرے ذکر دے چرچے فرشاں تے تیرے عشق دے چرچے عرشاں تے کوئی ایسی جا نہیں جس جاتے کوئی ایسی جا نہیں جس جاتے میرے آقا تیرا شور نہیں مینو شوق مدینے جاون دا میرے دل وچ حسرت ہور نہیں آقا تیری مرضی اے ساڈا تے کوئی زور نہیں تیری قبر تے حافظ لکھواری پائے دنیا بالے لکھ دیوے تیری قبر تے حافظ لکھواری پائے دنیا بالے لکھ دیوے جے دل وچ عشق نبی دا نہیں تیری روشن ہونی گور وی نہیں مینو شوق مدینے جاون دا میرے دل وچ حسرت ہور نہیں آقا تیری مرضی اے ساڈا تے کوئی زور نہیں
صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وعلی آلہ وصحبہ اجمعین وسلم. ویلکم بیک ٹو یور ویورز. We listen to this wonderful kalam in the praise of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and now we are back and we are discussing the topic, the four donkeys of Satan. And Satan has four merchandise, as it is mentioned in the incident that is related by Sayyidina Isa ala nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wasalam, when he saw Satan with his four donkeys and what he was carrying on them. He was carrying cruelty, dishonesty, treachery, and jealousy. So when he asked who will buy cruelty, he said, rulers will buy it. People in the high positions, they'll buy it. And who will buy dishonesty? To that he said, the merchants, the business people, the dealers, the tradesmen, they will buy it. And dishonesty, is that sin, is that evil, that if we are involved in dishonest deals, unlawful deals, then the consequences are dire. Sayyidina Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi mentions in Mukashifatul Qulub that when a piece of haram food enters a man's stomach, every angel in the skies and earth will curse him for as long as that morsel remains inside. And if he dies in this state, he will enter hell. Yes. So a piece of haram food, only a piece of haram food, Allahu Akbar. And the angels in the skies and earth, they will begin cursing the person who's eating that haram morsel. And for as long as that morsel remains inside, and if the person were to die in this state, they will go to Jahannam. And this is so severe. There is no harm in coming late if one works for a private firm, for example, and the employer, he does not mind it. Remember, during working hours, you cannot pray even the Nawafil Salah. And if weakness affects the work, then you cannot keep voluntary fast either without the boss's permission. But yes, Fard Salah and Fard fasts must be prayed even if the boss doesn't allow it. Without a proper valid reason, it is not permissible for you to miss Jama'ah even if your boss prevents you. It has come to our attention that the officers in some institutions say to the workers, leave Salah, your job is the first fard. And this statement, it is insulting towards Salah, and it is therefore this type of statement is kufr. Sadr al-Sharia Allama Mawlana Mufti Amjad Ali Azmi Rahimahullah, he gives 7 examples of, you know, when someone insults Salah, and he mentions in Bahar al-Sharia the first example, that if someone is told to pray Salah and he replies that I pray but I don't get anything from it, he will become a non-believer, non-Muslim. Secondly, or if he replies, you've prayed, what good did it do for you? This is again disbelief. Third example, if a person says, my parents are dead, why shall I pray Salah? Who shall I pray Salah for? This is again disbelief. Fourth example, if a person says, I've prayed enough, this is again disbelief. The fifth example, praying and not praying are the same. If a person says that, then any such statement implying disregard for Salah or abusing it is kufr, it's disbelief. Sixth example is praying only in the month of Ramadan and saying this is enough, again disbelief. Seventh example, what I have prayed is plenty because one Salah in Ramadan is worth 70. Are both statements of kufr because they imply the insignificance of Salah. Allah, my dear brothers, unfortunately, a huge number of traders commit treachery, they commit dishonesty. It is fard for a trader to learn the rulings concerning trade, concerning business, in order to make himself aware of what things make his earnings haram. You might think to yourself that I take great care to make sure my earnings are halal. There's nothing wrong with what I do. But, dear Islamic brothers, how can someone be careful when he doesn't know how to be careful? Sayyidina Farooq Azam, radiallahu ta'ala, who says, only a faqih, a learned person, is allowed to enter our market. Unfortunately, the situation is quite the opposite nowadays. Allah forbid, it is as if people are saying only cheaters are allowed in our markets. It is as if noble people are banned from the marketplaces. Everyone knows about the illegal acts and treachery that takes place in the marketplaces, the dishonest deals, which is mainly due to being unacquainted with Islamic knowledge and Sunnah of the Blessed Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It is vital that both retailers and consumers instantly learn the rulings related to buying and selling. Or else, remember, one will be held accountable for each and everything in the afterlife. And the wrath of Allah Azza wa Jal is indeed great. The 11th part of the famous Urdu Encyclopedia of Hanafi Fiqh, Bahar Shariat, explains this topic in detail. It should be studied carefully by every Muslim, and the help of a qualified Sunni scholar should be sought to understand difficult passages. Traveling in the Sunnah-inspiring kafilas of Dawat Islami is also an effective way of learning the Sunnah. Travel in kafilas and earn huge reward and learn countless Sunnahs. This will help you to increase your enthusiasm to study, and inshallah Azza wa Jal, make sure your earnings are pure and you can correct your salah, fasting and other forms of worship. My dear brothers, remember, it is important to decide a salary where deciding is expected. For instance, labor, rent for a house, or renting a shop or car. But if a price is already fixed and the people involved already know, then deciding again is not needed. For instance, when sitting in a hotel, there are menus with the prices and the customer is aware of them, or if the prices of food are known to the customer without having to ask anyone or look at the menu, then this includes also the bus fares, right, when you're traveling. Brothers, unfortunately, most of us are unaware of such rulings, and to know them is absolutely vital. Otherwise, one will commit treachery and dishonesty without even realizing what he has done to develop the desire to learn these things, make a habit of traveling in the Sunnah, inspiring qafilas of Dawat Islami with punctuality, and to gain steadfastness, act upon the Madani Inamat and fill in the Madani Inamat, the pious deeds, inshallah azza wa jal, by doing Fikr-e Madina, and you can then submit it. Inshallah azza wa jal, you will see blessings of this in yourself, in your life. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all tawfiq. Ameen. Bijahin nabiyyil ameen. Dear brothers, we have gone over two of the Satan's merchandise. One is the cruelty that the rulers buy, the people in the high positions, authorities buy. And the second merchandise, that is dishonesty, which the traders and workers and people in the business, they buy. Now, we will explore the third and the fourth merchandise of Satan and treachery, which he says the women buy it. And jealousy, he says, the scholars, they buy the jealousy. And now we have a Madani pearl of Nasiha for us to listen to and adhere to. Inshallah, Azza wa Jalla, listen to this Madani pearl of Nasiha by our senior colleague, Maulana Tabriz Nuri, Hafizahullah Ta'ala. And thereafter, we shall be back and continue with our today's discussion. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Dear viewers of Madani Channel, Shaitan is very close to each one of us. The Prophet of Rahmah, the intercessor of the Ummah, the owner of Jannah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, has said, without doubt, Shaitan circulates in the body of man like blood. Allahu Akbar. Great Sufis rahimahumullahu ta'ala have said, hence, block the ways of Shaitan by the means of hunger. Allahu Akbar. Yes, dear viewers of Madani Channel, there are many satanic whispers and we should find the cure for them. The beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had said, Shaitan comes to any one of you and says, who has created so-and-so thing and so-and-so thing? Shaitan even says, who has created your Lord? When he disturbs you to this extent, recite, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, and refrain from it. Allahu Akbar. With regards to this wonderful hadith we have just learnt, the great thinker of the Ummah, Mufti Ahmad Yarkhan Naimi, Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Ali, had stated, do not even try to think about the answer to the satanic whisper. Otherwise, Shaitan will ask other questions. Drive him away by reciting A'udhu Billah. Because not every question is answered. When Shaitan did not prostrate himself in front of Adam alayhi salatu wassalam and gave many reasons for it, Allah Azza wa Jal did not reply to them. Instead, Allah Azza wa Jal said, فَخُرُجْ مِنْهَا, you get out of the heavens. So keep in mind that reciting A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitanir Rajeem is a very powerful and effective invocation to drive Shaitan away. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.
Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in wa sallam. Welcome back to your viewers. We were listening to the Madani Pearl of Nasiha, and now we are back discussing our today's topic, that is the four donkeys of Satan. The third piece of merchandise that the Satan was carrying on one of the donkeys, that was treachery, which he says he sells to women. This does not mean that men are not treacherous. Deceiving people is a sin, whether men do it or women. Deceiving Muslims is a major sin, haram, and it's an action that leads to hell. Amir al-Mu'mineen Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, He narrates that the blessed Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "One who harms a Muslim or deceives him is cursed." Another narration mentions the sayings of the beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where he says, "One who harms anyone will be harmed by Allah azza wa jal, and one who causes difficulties to anyone will be put in difficulty by Allah azza wa jal." Our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has warned that the one who deceives us is not amongst us. Treachery and cheating is of hell. Allahu Akbar. In the hadith sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he goes to the marketplace with the Sahabi and he sees a person selling grains. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he puts his hand inside the grain and he finds that inside, when he puts his hands inside, the grain is wet and damp, and wet grain, it carries more weight. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he asks the merchant, why didn't he put the wet grains on top? Then the merchant said, okay, the grains on top, they dried. He said, why don't you tell the people about the wet grains? And then he mentioned that he who deceives us is not amongst us. Allah. In another hadith, sallallahu alaihi wasallam has stated, there are three types of people who will not enter paradise. Number one, cheaters, those who cheat, deceive. Second, those who remind people of favors. You know, when you do something for someone and say, no, I did that for you. And thirdly, the stingy people. These days, like treachery, the illness of reminding people of favor is very common among Muslims. Reminding people of favors ruins the virtue done by doing that favor. For example, in front of others, Zaid says to Bakr, you should thank me for getting you a job. You should be grateful to me for teaching you how to perform wudu. In this way, Satan ruins his virtues. Allahu Akbar. In fact, teasing hurts a Muslim's emotions, and that is a very evil act in itself, hurting the feelings of a Muslim brother. Allah Azza wa Jal says in the glorious Quran, translation from Kanzul Iman, for you who believe, do not make your almsgiving vain by reproach and injury. Allahu Akbar. Your brothers, Mufti Ahmad Yar Khan Naimi Rahimahullah Ta'ala, he says in Nur al-Irfan, this tells us that giving sadaqah to a poor person publicly humiliates him. It should be given secretly without others knowing, because giving sadaqah publicly in this case would cause him grief. Dear brothers, the fourth merchandise of Satan after treachery, he was carrying other merchandise as well. And his last merchandise and the last donkey that was carrying that merchandise, and that was jealousy. Allahu Akbar. Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam, he asked him, what are you carrying? So he mentions the last one is carrying jealousy. So he asked him, who will buy it? And the Satan says that scholars, they will buy it. The one who is jealous of anyone is called hasid. While the one to whom anyone has jealousy towards that person is called mahsud. The definition of jealousy is as it is stated in volume 3 of Lisanul Arab. That is to be jealous. It is to desire the loss of something possessed by the mahsud and to gain its possession for oneself. We learned from this definition that the desire for the loss of someone's blessings, possession or ability or quality, etc., and acquisition of the same blessing for oneself is jealousy. For example, the desire for the loss of someone's fame and respect due to hatred and acquisition of his fame and respect for oneself. Similarly, desiring the loss of a rich man's wealth and wishing the acquisition of wealth for oneself is in place of that rich man, it is jealousy. Jealousy is an extremely evil vice, and only foolish fall prey to it. Sometimes the children in our homes draw attention towards this very important issue, but we fail to understand. I feel that children often teach us a great deal through their immature actions. If you have children, you will probably have seen that when our children, when we pick up a child, then the other child begins to cry and he starts to hit the other child. In other words, he protests, why have you picked him up? Put him down and pick me up instead. This is an obvious example of jealousy. The child was picked up, obviously, was favored, and the second child was crying because he wanted to gain that favor for himself, with the first being deprived of it. The sins of minors are not written, and they do such things due to their immaturity, but we should regard them as little Madani Muballighs. In other words, they are teaching us an important lesson that you elderly people, you should learn something. We are children and immature, and we are practically showing you mature elders what jealousy is. Since we are children, jealousy will not harm us at all, but if you commit this sin, you will be severely harmed in both the worlds. Allahu Akbar. May Allah Azza wa Jal protect us all from these four donkeys of Satan and their merchandise and the satanic attacks. Ameen. Bijahin Nabiyil Ameen. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.
Islamic parables, Islamic parables, timeless and bright, springing the soul to the path of light. Islamic, Islamic.